You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, Mark Borax returns for another fireside chat. Mark is the founder of Soul Level Astrology, which he created in 1987, marked by the harmonic convergence. A nomadic poet his whole life, in the 70s he traveled the U.S. and Canada, performing and selling his poetry. In the mid-80s, Mark was befriended by his adolescent idol, writer Ray Bradbury, who became his literary godfather, encouraging him to write those books that he had within him. In 1984, he became a comic book writer and a managing editor of Comics Interview magazine. In 1998, Mark rode his Harley-Davidson lowrider through the U.S. and Europe, stopping for a year in the Tuscan countryside of northern Italy. Mark's first book, 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future, is a bestseller that describes the author's seven-year apprenticeship to visionary astrologer Elias Lonsdale. Under the redwoods in Northern California, they created a mystery school which birthed a new form of astrology called Star Genesis that helps people contact their core nature and life purpose. Mark's new book, co-authored with Elias, is a cosmic weather report that inspires readers to rethink the whole purpose of humankind and bring on a new future. I'm delighted to welcome Mark back to the show and also to announce that Elias Lonsdale will be with us next Saturday in a rare radio interview from his home in Hawaii. But tonight, let's welcome Mark to the show. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Great, Lance. Good to be back.
It's good to hear you again. Well, it seems like a lot has happened since you were on the show the last time, and I just wanted to say I think your new book is wonderful. It's just a terrific guide to navigate these times.
Thank you. We wanted to find a way to present an experience of our teleclasses to people by creating a sort of an open classroom and bringing the reader like right into the experience of us discussing these important changes that are going on.
Mm-hmm. And I also was a little bit taken aback by your April weather report, which is on your site, www.markborax.com. So I'm going to kind of let you take over, and the listeners will probably want to know what your take is on what's happening in the world. And you mentioned the untelevised revolution. We can start wherever you like.
Yeah, I feel that both the Cosmic Weather Report book that we're talking about that Elias and I co-wrote, as well as my monthly Cosmic Weather Report newsletter, which is a free newsletter available by email through my website, markborax.com. In both of those venues, I'm doing my best to inspire people to find a powerful transformative current that's running underneath so many of the intense and dark and difficult changes of our time, of our moment in history. And to do that, I talk straight to the soul. And in the current weather report, I allowed myself to get much more political than I normally have gotten in the last 4 years. And because I just couldn't keep silent any longer about the things that I see out there, and I really wanted to strike a fire in my readers, and it looks like I have, because so far I've gotten deluged with 3 times the amount of positive responses than I've ever had in 4 years of any other newsletter, and I got 1 negative response.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, you know, Cal Garrison also came out with something quite similar to yours, so it must be the time for this information to surface, and I loved what you said, and it's just so refreshing to hear other people coming out and saying, talking about the elephant that's in the room.
Yeah.
Would you care to go into some details about this? Because I think it's important to get the information out there.
Yeah, well, in the new Cosmic Weather Report, which went out yesterday, these free monthly newsletters go out on the first of each month. And in the one that went out yesterday, I was referring to a movie I had recently seen that some of your listeners may already know of called Inside Job. And it's narrated by Matt Damon, and it's a very quick-paced and juicy documentary about how the economic collapse of the last few years was actually choreographed by a whole bunch of key bankers, head bankers, and basically fat cat corporate bankers who actually decided to really rob their own banks, which is why it's called Inside Job. And they basically found a way to make millions and millions and millions of dollars by screwing the rest of the country. And instead of throwing them in jail, President Obama appointed them the head advisors of his administration. And you know, I was outraged about this. I had already known the story because Rolling Stone had covered it in the last few years. And so the information that came out in the movie wasn't new to me, but it framed it in a very poignant way. And it just made me realize how far Obama had gone from breaking his campaign vows. And also that Obama recently went to South America, and he was talking a lot about democracy in Chile. But what he wasn't saying, and what the newspapers didn't report, is that he was really there to sell nuclear power plants to Chile, because the people in this country no longer want them because they're dangerous and unsafe, as we just saw in Japan. And again, I was outraged that these politicians with smiles on their faces pretend to be helping everybody, and they're really selling us all down the river. I just could, normally I don't write politically in my monthly newsletters, but at this time I just, with everything happening in the world, in Wisconsin with rebellions, in the Middle East with the nuclear meltdown and tsunami in Japan, I just couldn't take any more lies, and I just needed to get down to what's going on astrologically and sort of clear away the lies and the illusions and give people something real to go on instead. And that's basically what I did in the recent newsletter.
Yes, it's extremely well written. And, you know, it seems like no sooner have we gotten through the oil spill, which hasn't ended yet. It's just an ongoing saga, which is swept underneath the table. Then we have the nuclear meltdown and the connection to General Electric, and then that takes you down the dark road of the various elite who run the world and own the government. So, and then you get into weather wars and chemtrails and genetically modified food and other things, which, I mean, it seems like a bottomless pit. How does this all fit in with the stars?
Well, you know, I feel the positive spin on this, Lance, because really, for your listeners who are new to me, who haven't really followed my work for the last 25 years, I'm a really positive person.
Yeah.
My books and my astrology readings are incredibly uplifting and inspiring, and yet that can't happen at the expense of truth. We need leaders now. We need people to speak out now, mm-hmm. as in an inspirational way, but also speaking straight to the heart and soul of people who are so tired of hearing all the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And the positive side of this, as reflected in the stars and the way that I see it in my newsletter, is that when normal daily American existence has become this warped, this convoluted, this filled with deception, the positive thing is we no longer have to subscribe to it anymore. We know, it's like you've been going to a school for years and years, but you were never accepted there. You couldn't make the grade there, and now you don't even need to be in it anymore.
And so the positive
side of this is that when things get this bad and this distorted, there's no sense anymore in holding yourself back from following your own clear truth. Even if people thought you were crazy, even if you thought you were crazy, even if nobody supported you, even if you felt you needed to keep your real life on hold in order to just gain a kind of corporate existence to pay your bills, that whole world is crumbling and has become so twisted that it's a real liberation for that part of the human soul that just is really hungry for something different and can no longer wait for it to come from our leaders.
Absolutely. And as you point out, and as we all know, there is no such thing as two parties. That's an illusion that's been propped up since we were born. And this comic book existence that we get from the television with advertising shoved down our throats and subliminal wavelengths is so overwhelming that many people are just turning off their televisions and shredding the newspaper.
Yes. And fortunately, we have internet access all around the world. And so I have the satisfaction of knowing that my words from yesterday have circled the globe many times already, and people in different countries are reading them and forwarding them to other people. And so the positive side of mass media and technology in our time right now is I don't have to go through the New York Times anymore. I can reach direct to readers in Tokyo and Africa and India and Korea, parts of Korea anyway, and Mississippi and California and Alabama.
I encourage everybody to read and to sign up for your Cosmic Weather Report and to read the April one, because it's absolutely right on the money. I mean, to the word. The other thing is, how do we deal with the frustration that is growing of being people who, you know, threw caution to the wind and had free love and drugs during the 60s, and now we find ourselves in a world that's asleep? How do we deal with that frustration of seeing a sleeping world that's addicted to games and movie stars and television shows and the rest of it?
Well, I think that movements, social movements, have an organic lifespan to them. And when the movement erupted in the 1960s to really wake up and change the world and turn around the corporate madness and the war machine and really believe in peace and love and spirit and a whole other way, I think that the movement didn't fail. It just had to kind of have an initial spark and then go underground largely throughout the 1970s and 80s and 90s. But many of us kept that movement alive in various ways. I've been going to the Oregon Country Fair most summers for the last 30 years, which is like Woodstock every year. Burning Man was spawned from things like that. And the spirit of something real and true was very much kept alive on the West Coast of the United States. I spent a lot of my life in those years living in Oregon and Washington State on the islands and in California and Santa Cruz. And I feel that what's happening now is it wasn't all in vain, the rebellion we created back then in the 60s. It just had to sink a little deeper down so that when things became so bizarre, it wasn't anymore that there's just one corrupt war in Vietnam, there's one bad war that we have to get rid of. Now it's a war that is an assault on the human soul. Mm-hmm. It, it, every person in the world who believes in love and truth for their family in any country, in any state, is being attacked now by this corporate machine of lies and bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I feel that those of us who lived through the 60s and were part of the movement then can take heart now that the torch is being passed now, and there's a lot of young people who are growing up in the same spirit, who don't have to work quite as hard because we started it for them, and they're picking it up now.
Well, yes, and of course, that there's a lot of new kids with labels like indigos and crystals and rainbows and the rest of it. But regardless of the label, they're definitely gifted. Some of them seem to have IQs that are off the charts and are autistic or ADD, ADHD. And so I think we're just poised on the verge of this evolution, which is also a revolution.
Yes. Yeah, the kids are amazing, and it's so inspiring to really feel that despite the strange changes of our political scene, which, like I said in my recent newsletter, in the 1960s when we dropped acid and read underground comic books like the Freak Brothers and Zap Comics by Robert Crumb, we couldn't have imagined in our wildest radical dreams that normal daily reality in the year 2011 could have become this warped.
Yeah.
We could have never dreamed it on acid that it would have gotten this bad. And you know, the gift of that is just feeling that the children that are coming in and the young people that are coming along already know that they don't even have to participate in that kind of existence anymore. It's not like The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman where you have to break away from the establishment and become a bohemian in order to say something. It's that the whole world now has become so bizarre that in contrast, simple human truths are beginning to shine and shine.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, people are trying to figure out ways to change the system, but as we know, there is no such thing as an out there. And Cliff High brought up an interesting idea that we can do, which is a very simple way to change the system, and he calls it shunning. And simply literally turn your backs on presidents and gatherings and the rest of military elite and wars. Simply turn your back and just shun. Pull your money out of the banks that are literally robbing us and putting us in the grave. So there's a lot that we can do, and I think that it just requires a little imagination and some courage to stand up and do what we feel is right from within.
Yes, and it really begins with talking the truth of your heart. And if you can talk with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your parents, with your friends, with your neighbors, it begins on a very grassroots level. That has a political force to it that is the kind of a force that that overthrows oppression. This is why one of the first things that Mussolini did when he came to power in Italy was he closed the cafes. And we're all in cafes of the mind now. We have the internet. The internet is one big cafe. And you could say whatever the hell you want to say on the internet. And yeah, that means there's a lot of crap, and you have to wade through a lot of stuff that's not at all interesting to you. But at the same time, I got to shun President Obama in my newsletter. I got to turn my back on him in front of my readership, and it was a choice I made very consciously because I had a lot of hope when Obama ran for office, that he might actually be able to really do some of the things he said he was going to do in his campaign promises. I wasn't expecting it to happen, though, because I knew that he was pro-war and pro-nuclear power, and both of those things were very much warning signs for me. But when I finally saw this movie Inside Job a couple weeks ago, I decided I could no longer remain silent on the web, and I had to the thousands of readers I have all over the world, I had to stand up in front of them and basically say exactly what I felt.
Mm. Well, and it's well said too. Now, what about Gaia Sophia, the planet Earth? I mean, everything's being exterminated, starting with the human being, not the human spirit, but the human soul. This human body is being exterminated, and the planet's being ravaged. We can see that everywhere. Depleted uranium is being used in these various confrontations, which are designed to enrich the companies that manufacture the weapons. They're sold to both sides. So how is the planet, the soul of the planet, is she emerging? Are we going through a death and a rebirth?
Yeah, that's where I feel there's an important lesson to be learned. And the lesson is that the deep ecology thinking of the radical ecologists has to be combined with the heart and the inspiration of the poet and the visionary. And they have to come together now in the human being, because it's true that we're horribly ravaging the earth and spewing toxins into our world, into the waters, into the land, into the air. And yet at the same time that that's true, it's also true that there's a deep regenerative capacity in the organic soul of this being that we call Earth, that we call Gaia. And the regeneration of our planet will not come from strict, rigid political acts designed to create further separation and madness. It has to happen from the reawakening of an ecstatic force, a force of joy, a force of regeneration, a force of resurrection. And I believe that our planet is far more capable of regenerating herself than the purely scientific models know about, because they fail to take into consideration that an organic life form is capable of regeneration, is capable of miracles, just like human beings who have cured themselves of cancer and other diseases.
Oh, yeah. Do you think it's possible that the Earth could have her own Kundalini experience, which would definitely blow us all out of the waters with bliss?
Well, yeah, I feel that that's part of what the tsunamis and the earthquakes are. It's Earth orgasms, and the deep shaking of the tectonic plates, the deep movement in down inside the belly of the mother. You know, in earlier ages, when people lived in teepees or huts or yurts, who would care about earthquakes? So what? So there's an earthquake.
Right.
You know, if you're going to cram millions of people into a place like New York or Tokyo or Los Angeles and build all these structures of steel and concrete that go way, way, way up high, yeah, earthquakes become incredibly scary things, you know, and tsunamis are always scary, even when there wasn't any civilization or buildings. But you can't say that the problem with our world is the tsunamis and the earthquakes. You know, that's a part of the movement. That's the part of the organic dance of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, there are many who say that a lot of the weather changes are occurring due to military applications such as HAARP and weather control. And there's a great deal of evidence to that backs that up. That a lot of the things that we see that seem organic, and I'm not trying to contradict you, but it is possible that the military is causing some things on our planet that are earth-shaking.
Yes, there's a lot of need right now for people to look more deeply into what's going on in the world, and at the same time that I support people in looking into things, I also caution people to stay clear-headed and sober. The problem that I have with most conspiracy theories, and I've read for many decades, I've read quite a few conspiracy theories books and magazine articles and things like that. Mm. The main problem that I have with that way of thinking is that there tends to be an incredible distortion that goes along with those things, and it's very hard for somebody to start looking into those things and reading those things without getting a sort of a toxic overlay.
Yes.
And it tends to radically unground people and spin them into a paranoid state.
Yes.
And it's very difficult from that state to really sort out the objective clarity as to what might be the truth in any of those theories versus what the hype is and how the paranoia makes it.
Yes, very well said. Yeah, I agree with you. I've had to back off, way off on all of that, and basically go into the garden and commune with, the hillside.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, and I've come to that point many times, not even just with the conspiracy material, but even just with politics. I've been a student of radical politics for 40 years. I was lucky enough to have a community college Marxist professor, a revisionist professor of history, when I was about 20 years old in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me a lot of the stuff that I learned once again later from Howard Zinn and the People's History of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I really saw that when you look through the history of the United States, it's always been this way. It hasn't really gotten a whole lot worse. It's just that there are cycles of repression and totalitarianism and distortion in this country and anti-immigration and corruption. And then there are cycles where a lot of that stuff washes away and eases back and the situation shifts. And I take heart from that because I myself feel that I need to cultivate a full-bodied response to the world's darkness and problems. I can't just stay with the political side because after a few years of gathering more political awareness, I get saturated and not paranoid as I do when I go into the conspiracy stuff, but I just get so saturated. And then I come back to the magical side and I read Ram Dass, A Miracle of Love, about his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, or the autobiography of a yogi I reread by Yogananda. And I bolster my spirit with Hermann Hesse and Isaac Singer and those champions of the soul who lived through their own dark times of Nazism and somehow didn't turn dark from it, but actually became much more loving, really champions of the light. And so for myself, I over the decades, I'll go into a certain area and kind of mine a little bit more truth and information, and then I'll come back to my music, writing my songs, singing, playing with my children now. I have two young boys, and making love with my wife and jamming music with my friends. And for me, I have to just kind of take it all in and process it and then put it back out again in a creative expression of some kind.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It really is. What are the current alignments with the astrological aspects that we can all be made aware of? Because there's a lot going on this month, starting with this new moon, isn't there? I think April 3rd, where we come into a new moon, and there's many alignments that I don't understand.
Yeah, well, there's six planets in Aries right now, and all of those planets in such a breakthrough sign. It's the part of everybody right now that I keep hearing a similar theme from people, Lance, from my readers and my astrology clients and a lot of people. What I keep hearing is that it's pretty rough for a lot of people right now, and there's many complications and intensities. But at the same time, I'm also hearing about this kind of a relief that all this energy in Aries right now is kind of forcing a change. It's breaking open those hidden factors that have been behind the scenes manipulating everything. It's not so behind the scenes anymore. Like that movie Inside Job, it basically exposed the dirty laundry of President Obama and the United States government. It basically just exposed it to a huge audience with somebody as mainstream as Matt Damon, top famous Hollywood actor, doing the narration.
Wonderful.
It isn't some sort of dry, cerebral documentary for intellectuals. It's a real sexy documentary.
Oh,
and
like those.
Yeah, really, really juicy and clear, simple and hard hitting. And it's kind of symbolic for me of what I feel is going on. That there's a lot of things that are dark and hard, and it's hard for people to find hope right now in a lot of ways. But at the same time, this Aries energy, all these planets in Aries are just kind of busting through the illusion and opening a path and just almost like forcing people to just push off in a new direction. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the coming months, because the outer planet Uranus just entered Aries for 7 years.
Mm.
And there's a real ripple effect of people taking heart and courage from the good things. Here in Vermont, there's a special law in this state that I think we're the only state who has it, that the state of Vermont has to okay a nuclear power plant in order for it to keep running. And what's happening here is that the state legislature voted overwhelmingly a year ago to shut down our local nuclear plant when its license expires in 2012. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission voted to keep it open. And I'm sure that Obama is probably trying to put pressure on the governor of Vermont, Pete Shumlin, to actually close this thing, because Obama's really in league with the whole nuclear industry. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this one plays out, because Vermont is really governed by town government, by town meetings.
Oh.
And the tradition is still a strong New England take the government into your own hands kind of a feeling in this state. And the governor has been speaking out over and over about shutting down this plant, and a lot of people are starting to speak out through the town government all over the state to just really be sure that they shut this old plant down. That's the exact same kind of a power plant as they had in Japan.
Well, that has to happen if we're going to survive, for one thing, and all of them need to be shut down. There's no real way that they've figured out how to dispose of the toxic waste, which goes on for sometimes tens of thousands of years. So, and not to mention all the bombs that have been detonated already and the depleted uranium that's being used in the wars over there. So there really needs to be a strong movement to stop all atomic activity immediately.
Yes.
And without question. I mean, there shouldn't even be a second thought about it. you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so crazy, and it's just an indication, Lance, of the cloud that the media, that the mass media presents over the truth and the minds and the hearts of people in our country. How anyone in their right mind could ever fall for the lies and the economic deceptions that we need nuclear power plants. It's one of the most serious and unfathomable of all the deceptions that are going on.
Absolutely. And our reliance on oil is so antiquated and antediluvian. We could have been off of oil 60 or 70 years ago, given the technology that's been taken private by the corporations. So
yes,
that's another thing. We're living in the wild, wild west still. And
yeah,
there's no need for it, except that the money's being sucked right out of our pockets to feed these people trillions of dollars. It's astonishing and it's staggering. You know, I mean, you know about the $3 trillion disappearing from the Pentagon, and I mean, it's just endless. You know,
yeah.
Well, we don't know where it went. Well.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So,
yeah.
And then how do you, when the people own the stations and they've manipulated everything in their favor, how do we begin to get to, well, you said the internet.
The internet, and it's a grassroots movement. It spreads because truth has a stronger and a clearer undertone.
Yes.
Vibration to it than lies.
Yes.
And just the way animals in the jungle spread news to each other, even when they're miles away from each other, elephants, you know, talk to each other over the distance.
Yeah.
The truth of the soul, it spreads from person to person and country to country, either through internet on an informational level or psychically,
yes,
just as a vibe, as a feeling,
yes,
that, come on, let's just get back to something real.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like we're going to be, again, to connect? Well, we're already connected at the collective level, unconsciously, but do you see an emergence of a higher consciousness where we're aware and tapped into each other and reconnected so that we are aware that we are one in what we do to another we're doing to ourselves?
I feel that that is happening, and at the same time that that's happening, what's also happening is that the old mentality is digging in one
yeah.
last time because it feels that its days are numbered.
Yeah.
And you know, one interesting point that the makers of the movie Inside Job made was that these bankers, these head top politicians, and bankers who really really screwed the country, also were addicted to prostitutes and cocaine and things like gambling, and it just conjures up for me this, like, Nero fiddled while Rome burned kind of a phase of history, that the fat cats are deluded. You think that these are people worthy of being leaders and being in the government and being in the White House and running the system, but they're actually so out of touch, they're like an addict. In fact, they are addicts.
Right, they are.
It's just so crazy that side of things isn't going to go away overnight in favor of the oneness that you're talking about. I feel that both movements are occurring simultaneously, that there is a growing recognition that we are all one, and that we have to come back to something sane, and we have to stand for something real for the sake of all humankind. And I do believe that that is a growing movement. And at the same time, the people entrenched in positions of worldly power are not going to transform overnight into the love generation.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that one. So what we need to do is stand up and speak our own truth and not back down, because that creates a vacuum which then they fill and have been filling for their own interests, their own self-interests. And we can see where that's gone and where it's going. And we're in a barrel going over Niagara Falls. So now maybe we, while we're doing that, maybe we can discuss other ways to handle this situation.
Yeah.
Before we hit the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Speaking up in whatever way is rightful is the answer. Living your life truly, following the conscience of, that's right, living authentically, following the conscience of your heart and your mind, refusing to keep mum, like you say about the, you know, the elephant carcass in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Just all of those are ways and means available to every human being. You don't have to subscribe to the illusion that you're a weak, ineffectual nobody, and the president and the billionaires are the ones who are running everything. It's not true.
No.
It's a passing illusion that got so bloated and corrupt on its own lies,
yeah,
that the more that every normal human being just actually makes a stand for their own clear truth of their heart and speaks out, even that little action dislodges the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you make any connections between the Mayan calendar and these times playing into the astrology as well? How does that fit in?
I'm not an expert in the Mayan calendar, and so I leave that side of things to others who really know more about it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And,
well,
yeah.
So now we're heading into a kind of a rough period, but it's a period of turbulence and monumental change, isn't it, as far as the alignments go?
Yeah, it really feels like we're going through the kind of turbulence that's necessary to disrupt the previous order of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's shaking all across the spectrum. That's disrupting people in Mississippi and New Orleans and Wisconsin and Japan and Iraq and California. It's not limited to only one social sphere, only one ethnicity or one nation.
Mm-hmm.
The turbulence is needed in order to draw the world's attention to the insanity of our time and shake up a paradigm, an outlook, a worldview that is obsolete and deadly and can no longer sustain a planet or a species. And that kind of turbulence is ushering in what looks to be a 20-year period of transformation, where we really have about the next 20 years to turn this whole thing around, if we're ever going to do it at all.
If it's going to happen at all. There are some interesting aspects that come up in your book, many, many different things that are, you know, we just don't have time to talk about tonight, but do some of those who cross over, that is, who physically die, continue to assist us on this side? And is
very much so.
Is there a merging,
yeah,
do you think, or are the veils thinning between sides?
Yeah, I think very much so. What it comes down to, Lance, is that the reason why we've gotten into such a distorted state in our time and history is because we've fallen for the illusion of duality, the old karmic melodrama of us against them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter who you fill in as the us or the them. It could be the Jews versus the Arabs, the Republicans versus the Democrats, the men against women. It doesn't even matter what the categories are. What matters is the paradigm itself has to now transform. And in order for that to happen, the game of duality has to be revealed inside each of us, where we ourselves are still subscribing to it. And so the real challenge of our time right now is how to dissolve all arbitrary distinctions, even the one between the living and the dead. And so that is one of the main dualities, that when you're alive, you're alive, and when you're dead, and it's nothing, and those two worlds have nothing to do with each other. And this is a preposterous idea that that only a modern, scientifically based civilization could ever dream up such a strange idea like that, because through centuries, people have reported experiences of communication with the ancestors, with the dead. In every country on earth, you can read in the folklore of people in Russia, farmers in the Ukraine, people in Kentucky and in China who have spoken with the dead and gotten information from the other side of the veil. And these aren't just New Agey people. These are redneck farmers in Mississippi and Alabama. It's not just crazy people in Santa Cruz and Sedona, you know. And so I feel that one of the things that's happening now is that the veils are thinning, and that the dead are coming much closer to the living in order to really get some information across to us that we're not in it alone. We don't have to just do it by the book. There's a lot of magical and spiritual support for us really turning around the current blockage of the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm surprised to see so many mystical books cropping up. For instance, the Ringing Cedars series that came out of Russia is just astonishing. And then somebody recommended a book by Penny Kelly called The Elves of Lily Hill Farm, which just it was mind-blowing about the elementals and the divas and the elves. I mean, it just opens up whole new realms for us to communicate with. So it seems that magic is opening up for us to explore again. It's being explored, you know?
Yeah, even just tonight I was watching, of all directors, a Clint Eastwood-directed movie with Matt Damon called Hereafter.
I just saw that 2 days ago.
Yeah, and I have it on pause now. I'm going to go back to finish it after we finish our interview. And of all people, you know, Clint Eastwood, an incredibly respected director in Hollywood, doing an actual version of a psychic reader. That's true. There's nothing Hollywoodized and nothing artificial about the way they depict this guy's ability to do psychic readings. And what an incredible thing that. Here's Dirty Harry and Wagon Train. Here's this Clint Eastwood guy who's actually doing a mainstream movie about psychic stuff, and he's not doing a bullshit version of it. He's actually doing an accurate version of it.
Absolutely. It is one of the most beautiful and well-done films on this subject that I have seen maybe ever. It's worth watching, and you know, you're going to love the way that it ends. It just, it's a wonderful film. And, you know, he's in another one, Matt Damon is in another one that I haven't been able to get to yet, which is a little more out there, called The Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Well, that has to do with him falling in love with somebody who he wasn't supposed to, and he accidentally stumbles into these beings who are guiding our lives, and it brings up the whole question of are we predestined or do we have free will? So it's a real interesting concept for him to explore, and anything he's in, I think, is going to be worth watching, but definitely hereafter.
That's Matt Damon is turning into my new hero.
Yeah, me too.
He not only narrated the Inside Job movie exposing the graft of the Obama administration, he's also doing psychic movies with Clint Eastwood and this other movie that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I know that he was personal friends with Howard Zinn, the great revisionist history teacher who wrote The People's History of the United States, who everybody who's listening to the show should read A People's History of the United States if you haven't already.
Okay.
And my hat really goes off to Matt Damon for somebody who could be doing all those things at once and be such a Hollywood star.
Oh, absolutely. I am in total agreement with you. Absolutely. And so there is hope left in Hollywood, and I'm amazed at how they can do this, and Clint does an incredible job. So, you're going to love the rest of the movie, so you're probably chomping at the bit to get out to watch it. But that's okay, because we're almost out of time. We've got a few minutes left, and you can share whatever you like at the last of the show and mention where the books can be found and where your sites are again.
My website is markborax.com. It's MARKBORAX. You can sign up for my free monthly Cosmic Weather Report, which goes out by email. You could find out about my astrology readings that I do by telephone and in person for those who can meet with me in Vermont. Also, the new book is called Cosmic Weather Report, Guidance for Radically Changing Times, and you can order that through the website. Mm-hmm. Or find it at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
And it's a wonderful book, and it's just so uplifting. I mean, like you said, you are a positive person, and you bring all of the positive side to things, to this time we're in. And it's just a wonderful read, and it's a great guide to getting through these times and aligning with our higher truth. The one thing that I would like to say before we close is that to mention that Elias, I always foul screw up on his name. Say it again.
Elias.
Elias. Lonsdale,
right,
which is your partner in crime, will be joining us next week. On Saturday, and he's a visionary, astrological visionary, as you are, and I'm sure that he'll have some really fascinating stuff to contribute and validate what we've been talking about tonight. So don't miss next week's show either. And Mark, I want to thank you for coming back and sharing with us. I'm just so pleased the way that you continue to evolve exponentially, and it was thrilling to read your Cosmic Weather Report and see that you're just telling the truth, and you can tell it just resonates. So I want to
thank you, Lance.
Yeah, and continued good luck to you, and thank you so much for sharing with us on the show tonight.
You're so welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, well, you'll be back again sometime soon, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll get back to my movie.
Okay, good. Oh, you'll love it. All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks,
good night,
everybody, and good night.
Okay.